From SBR News, this is Inland Journal. I'm Doug Nadvornik. For many of us, artificial intelligence, or AI, is a regular part of life. Most Google queries, for example, bring an answer from a chatbot. AI will likely play a greater role in our lives going forward. The technology is advancing so rapidly that its applications seem limitless, but there are worries about the ways humans will use the technology. Today, we talk with two Gonzaga University faculty members about AI and ensuring that humans maintain control rather than letting the bots run amok. They've created a fellowship program for K-12 teachers to help them learn innovative ways to use AI in their teaching. AI in the classroom on today's Inland Journal. Artificial intelligence is a tool for good and a tool for not so good. It can help stimulate our imaginations so that we do better work, or we can let it do our work for us. In the classroom, teachers can use AI to help students find answers to problems. But what's the best way to navigate this ever-evolving technology? Two Gonzaga professors.
My name is Ani Fritzen-Case, and I'm a professor in the Department of Teacher Education.
I'm Jay Yen. I'm the director for the Institute for Informatics and Pi Technology.
Have been talking about how to merge AI and classroom instruction.
Ani has a great insights about how to engage K-12 teachers. And I actually have a very sincere interest on how we engage human beings about artificial intelligence technologies. I think that allows this merge, as you say, make very perfect match to help human to think about this problem.
Their partner is the Gates Foundation, which approached Case and Yang about funding a fellowship program that would teach K-12 teachers, in this case, charter school teachers, about new ways to think about and use AI.
We recognize that for teachers to be empowered to use AI for deeply human and really sound educational purposes, they needed to not only understand what AI can do, but what AI is.
So, honey, you asked the question, what artificial intelligence is. I'll just flip the words. What is artificial intelligence? Because we know the phrase, but maybe we don't know the definition.
So generative AI represents sort of a natural progression in computing. Computing has moved from being a rule-based technology where computers were programmed to do a very particular set of things, and the machines followed the rules. And then we moved to earlier forms of artificial intelligence where machines were able to learn from data, make predictions, and analyze based on data rather than being specifically programmed to know what to do. Generative AI is the logical next step, where now machines are capable of not only making predictions and conducting analyses from the data they've been trained on, but now they can actually generate novel outputs. And so that is amazing shift in computing.
Think about we as human using eyes to recognize that's a window, that's a door, that's a table. You have data with labels. Generative AI is language-based. Human invented languages. Language allowed us to describe what's not just the shape of the window, but what's its purpose, what's the intended uses, give their variety. And language allows us to connect one concept, another concept, another concept, make analogies and so on and so forth. Because the power of language that created generative AI, the back-end term is large language model, LLMs, and people have heard of that. At some point, you asked about what is AI. I wish that we actually focus more on what is large language model when we engage human, because that gives a little bit better sense about it instead of thinking, oh, it's AI, it's robot, it's scary. It's actually a language model.
So what do you want teachers to know about this?
So the idea here is that we want to shift their mindset, right? Unfortunately, out there, a lot of people equating AI to cheating. AI to shortcuts. That's not what AI is. I'm a technology person, right? When I investigated research AI, the broader sense of artificial intelligence 10, 20 years ago, that was not anywhere close to the intent. right? But news articles, social media, and a lot of things make it equated into cheating and shortcuts. So what we want teachers to know is to start shifting the mindset first. So demystifying generative AI is a language model, right? From there, you want to build their capacity back up. So kind of breaking things down and build it back up to give them the agency, their purpose. What am I supposed to be teaching? What is the meaning of knowledge? What's most important for the students 5 years from now, 10 years from now? When they go into workplace, how do we want to equip them? Not just equip them with best prompting, but equip them with a mindset, with a knowledge, with a way of thinking in discerning the language models.
Yeah, I think that generative AI offers at least a partial answer to at least two problems or large issues in education. One is that schools are increasingly tasked with a portfolio of responsibilities that really is beyond what a school or a teacher can be reasonably expected to do. So they are overburdened with responsibilities. Secondly, teachers are working with very large groups of students who have wildly diverse learning needs, rich, diverse backgrounds. And so one-size-fits-all education doesn't fit anyone, actually. And so Gen AI has the potential to be a tool for teachers to make some of the work that they do more efficient and recoup some time for them to do the work that is fundamentally human. It also has the potential to help them create multiple pathways for students to learn and show their learning by adapting instruction to different levels, creating instructional materials in different modalities. So there are real opportunities to use this powerful technology to meet existing demands and existing challenges. We just really want the humans to stay in charge. We want the technology to choose human purposes, not for humans to follow the technological capacity. So that's what we want to nurture, is a mindset that starts not with what can AI do, but what is the work to be done? And then how can I strategically and creatively use AI to expand educational possibilities and opportunities, develop human capacity? Because at the end of the day, this is about human work and human capacity, not technological power.
I'll just add a little bit on that. So I think ultimately is empower the teachers, empower the humans to really develop the agency to reshape how we educate the next generation. I think that's what we wanted to do. It's not about teaching technologies. It's not, I would even say that it's not about every single teacher in the program must adopt AI technology. No, it was meant to be knowing this AI technology. How would you teach? What would you teach? How would you assess? How would you help kids learn? So empower teachers to reshape education.
So that seems to be pretty big questions to me. As I was hearing you, I was hearing it is a labor-saving device in some ways. It is the device that can be used as an idea-generating sort of thing. Am I sort of along that line here? And are there other things that I missed that AI can be used for?
Yeah, it can make many of the administrative tasks of teaching more efficient. It can function quite usefully as a thought partner, right? So you can interact with an AI chatbot, say, I have this idea, I have this problem, what's 10 ways to approach this? Or I'm trying to teach this challenging concept, my kids are confused. What are 5 metaphors in the real world that I could use? It can be sort of an assistant. It can be a thought partner. It can be a teacher. One area of great promise for AI is its role as an individualized tutor. So we teachers can learn how to create, for example, custom GPTs so that students can interact with AI in a way that teachers have designed for a purpose, teachers have designed using materials that teachers have designed. But it can provide this one-on-one instruction and feedback loop for students. So an assistant, a tutor, a thought partner, and we don't even know what else.
You're listening to Inland Journal and a discussion with Gonzaga University professors Ani Fritzen-Case and Jay Yang. Case is from the College of Education. Yang is director of the Institute for Informatics and Applied Technology. They're developing a fellowship for teachers who are interested in learning how to best use artificial intelligence in their classrooms. Back to Ani Case.
The program is initially targeting charter school educators, primarily because charter schools by design are meant to be seedbeds of innovation, and they are smaller and they tend to be able to be more nimble, right? So we are first inviting educators from charter schools around the state. We also will have some capacity for public school K-12 teachers to participate, and we think that cross dialogue across those sectors will be really generative as well.
What we're looking for are people curious, open-minded, want to be innovative, have this passion, want to reshape education. If someone want to come, oh, I just want to learn how to prompt, that's not the type of people want to involve.
Case and Wang will choose from the teachers who applied for the fellowship and invite them to Gonzaga for 3 days of hands-on AI training.
After that, graduates from the three-day camp will have choices to be continue to be coached by Gonzaga School Ed, myself, the AI engineers here, as well as the teachers and educators here at Gonzaga. That's one option, be coached, like what things you can do, what things you can give them guidance. There's other options like workshop. We're thinking about one of the key elements of education today is assessment, is grading. How you grade dictates what students study. So if we want it to be very flexible, open-minded, this critical thinking, it may not be easy to be true-false questions, right? It's not be multiple-choice questions. So how do we help faculty and teachers to design the exams, the assessments? That would be good. How do we do that? And we'll also have what we call mini-grants, because some of this technology adoption needs money. So they maybe have ideas that I want to adopt this, I work with students, we need a camera, whatever, things that it's not just generating AI chatbots only. So we want to provide them funding, allowing them to do these mini grants.
Wang and Case expect to welcome teachers to campus early next spring. The fellowship program is scheduled to run for 2 years, but they hope the ideas developed will carry on for much longer.
One of our primary goals is to create a network, a statewide, at least starting statewide, network of educators who are experimenting with AI, whatever context they're in. Some schools are going to be engaged to a greater or lesser extent, but that this network can then cross-pollinate, they can support each other. This innovation, if it happens, and if it happens well, it's going to be both bottom-up and top-down.
Taking control of AI, has AI already taken control of us just in terms of the tools that are out there and how we're using them in terms of writing term papers or, in my case, transcribing interviews, a labor saver, this whole thing about taking control of AI?
So I answer it a little bit too broadly, right? So humans are lazy. Human invented bicycles, human invented cars, human were working with horses. Everything we do, we try to save some of this labor. Helping on transcribing, helping me to look at how do I change the words into an image that I want to use. Those are part of creative innovation. But this doesn't mean we are be controlled by AI. Again, I want to change the narrative. It's not artificial intelligence. They are not that intelligent. It is great to produce coherent sentences. So it's actually the commercial companies and products that's controlling how we view it, how we use it. If a company selling a product tell you this is how you drink Coca-Cola, and you drink Coca-Cola that way, right? But we as a human with an agency, we can think about how we should be or not drinking Coca-Cola, right? or candies or social media per se. Same thing for this so-called artificial intelligence or generative AI or LLMs is that we should have the agents to think about when, how, where, and whether we're using this technology. Not that, oh, people telling me this can be done this way, then I do it. That's why we, our program, will never say, this is five top ways you will use it, right? We will give you examples, and we actually want the three-day camp coming back at the end. The teachers come up with so genius ways to either use it or inspired by it to recreating their curriculum.
So, Ani, how do you think AI is being used in education? Is it driving the users to what a lot of us use it for, or is it being used well?
It's interesting that AI comes to education on the heels of COVID, right, which was a rapid, unexpected, somewhat traumatic pivot to technology-driven education. Schools have been dramatically impacted by social media and everything else just in the larger moment. That I have sensed all of that combined has created a sort of a sense of overwhelm and tech fatigue in many schools, especially K-12 schools. And so we're in the very, very early stages of what this means. I think right now what it looks like is early adopters taking, you know, using ChatGPT or Copilot or some widely available chatbot to help them create worksheets or assessments or give them ideas for something, right? So teachers are, I think that to a great extent, teachers are just using it individually, primarily for that labor-saving purpose. Kids are similarly using it for a labor-saving purpose, and schools are trying to figure out, how do we manage this? Nobody wants kids to just use AI to cheat, use AI to produce work, to shortcut learning. But the policies and the infrastructure and the shared understanding is still quite emergent. So I'm seeing schools who have some sort of a general AI policy that says, obviously, you can't just put your name on work that a chatbot created and turn it in. They're asking teachers to specifically identify appropriate and inappropriate ways to use AI. But in terms of really systems level AI integration, that is still emerging. That's sort of how I read the landscape. A few early adopters, students have certainly figured out how to use it, not just to cheat, but also to help. We're hearing students saying, I could not understand this, and so I asked AI to explain it to me in a different way. So some tutoring, some labor saving, some cheating, but it's not very coherent or very organized.
Just a little bit. Okay, so first of all, the chat bots, right? ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, all of this, they're all chat kind of based. Because of that, people equate it with generating content that I can use. But what I have heard, right, throughout technology, non-technology fields, that the good cases are always addressing blind spots, always addressing things you cannot do. Those bad cases are the ones that is replacing me to do the things I'm just lazy to do. So that narrative that if we can challenge your listener to think about, I don't want to use it just to do things that I can do easily, it's just that it saved me from a minute to 30 seconds, versus this is no way I can do this. How do I use this technology to help me to do that? For example, emails. There's a lot of people have email problems. What exactly did I miss from last week? I don't even remember how to ask. Those are the problems, this challenge, right? That's not something easy summarizing other things. So keep that in mind, addressing blind spot versus addressing things I'm just lazy not to do. That's a difference. I think that right now that Ani is a great example. She started using early on. She's an early adopter. I don't know whether you remember how you first started it, but now she's an expert user, and she's thinking a lot more. She's really familiar with the technology, so she's not using it just to save time. She's using it to generating ideas, be innovative, addressing blind spot, those elements. And there are a lot of other technologies that build on LLMs that's not called ChatGPT. For your listeners out there, don't worry about ChatGPT. There are many other technologies that's kind of powered by generative AI LLMs. That's actually for education purposes.
Okay, so honey, how are you as an expert user? How do you use it beyond the ChatGPT model?
Increasingly, I am using these chatbots as thought partners. So I'm pitting one large language model against another. So for example, here's an issue I'm wrestling with. This is my best thinking. Maybe I'll ask ChatGPT to respond to that and to also ground what it says in a source, not just in patterns, but in actual information, which now it's integrated with the internet, so it can do that. And then I'll ask Claude the same thing, and then I'll say, talk to each other, right? Respond. So it sort of creates this machine-machine-human interaction that can be quite interesting. I use it for a lot of intellectual games, as it were, right? Playful experimentation with ideas and different ways of developing ideas, conceptualizing ideas, communicating ideas. And so it doesn't actually save me time. It actually extends the time I spend, for example, on a writing or research project. But it adds new layers and new perspectives.
What you've done is you've given me an entry point into how do I use it, which is what I've been puzzling about. Are there other ways to enter into that, Jay, that you might suggest that normal people could use?
So for the normal chatbot-based generative AI, one of the things that people can look it up called system prompts. The idea is that you are telling your bot to work with you in certain ways. So I have a colleague, he putting some system prompt to say, whenever I ask you something, give me at least 3 potential options. So because he want the AI to generate options for him, not just giving one response. One of the danger, right, concern about these generative AI bots is that they may appear to be very authoritative, right? They are confident. They know what they're talking about, but they may not. So you can program or configure these chatbots, putting some system prompt to say, I want you to give me more than one option every single time. I want you to tell me, I want you to remind me this. So personally, you may want it to say, I want this interaction to be certain ways so that you can tailor to what I want to address the blind spots. I want to emphasize the blind spots. Don't make it into your echo chamber. Don't just get the chatbot to tell you what you want to hear, because that doesn't help. There is another risk and concern out there. Say, this could be your romantic partner. This is someone you are counseling with. That would be very dangerous if you're not used properly, right? You need to have those system prompts, again, to address the blind spots. If I'm talking to a human being, if that human being is a good counselor, good advisor, a good mentor, that person will look at my blind spot, remind me of a few things, even I don't want to hear it. But if you don't do that and you try to ask, just tell me what I want to hear, that's very dangerous. So I would suggest the regular common users think about how you want to configure or write a system prompt so that this technology is addressing your blind spots.
One thing that I really care deeply about, I'm enamored by the possibilities. I see an opportunity. I see a need to invigorate and improve education, expand our imagination around that. I also am really concerned about the dangers that this poses, right? Particularly with young people. I do not want to repeat the social experiment that we had with social media, where the adults sort of left it to the kids to figure out at tremendous cost to their well-being. I think AI could take us in that direction, perhaps to even more detrimental human outcomes. So in the same way that, you know, we've all are familiar with Jonathan Haidt and Anxious Generation and his two-pronged approach, which is we have to teach kids how to work with the technology, but we have to put as much energy into what they are doing when they're not using technology. Same approach with AI. We need to teach kids fundamental digital literacy. We need to teach them what artificial intelligence is and isn't. We need to help them be really clear about this reality that though it sounds like a human, it's not a human. And we need to absolutely double or triple our efforts in providing experiences and opportunities for kids to learn in embodied ways, to learn away from machines, to learn with each other, to solve problems in the real world, to develop social emotional skills, to learn discernment, to nurture identities, to live by their values, all of these human things. If we do not do that, then we will become the victims of the machine. And that's just one of the many potential negative outcomes that the age of AI could bring. So I just don't think any discussion about AI in education is complete without acknowledging the only thing we really care about is the well-being of our children. And that cannot be left to a machine, as capable as it might be. Yeah.
I would echo Ani's point. I'll add to that that the notion of responsible AI, I push for this word responsible AI. There are a lot of interpretation on that. I didn't use the word ethic. I use it's responsible. The reason is that I think that it's our educator responsibility. They really think that, to Ani's point, that we need to think about how to properly educate students, learners, and ourselves about what this technology means and what this technology does not mean, right? That human agency is what I want to emphasize on. The opportunity, and I want to turn this from concerns into opportunities, right? So we didn't address it well with social media. And banning it is not a solution. It didn't work, right? And I want to also encourage whoever is out there. I know this thing sounds scary. It's a black box. Nobody understands what it is. A lot of colleagues I work with, we're able to kind of convert some of the doubters, right, in religious study, in philosophy. Oh, now I understand a little bit. I get a glimpse of what this large language model is. Yes, it is going to be uncertain. Yes, it's going to be fast evolving. Yes, you were still not understanding it. But educators, we don't need to understand everything in order to teach. So let's co-learn with students. That would be my message. Is co-learn, use this, turn this into opportunity to co-learn this technology with students.
Jay Yang is the director of Gonzaga University's Institute for Informatics and Applied Technology. Ani Fritzen-Case is a professor of teacher education. They're leading a new AI for Instruction fellowship for K-12 teachers. Inland Journal is the weekly public affairs program produced at SBR News. Heard Thursdays at 12:30 p.m., Saturdays at 2:30 p.m., and online anytime at SpokanePublicRadio.org. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Glad you could join us.